Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. Hello, listeners. This is Art Talk, episode 52, and today I have my art friend Ramona Pintea as my guest. Ramona is an artist who I met in 2020 when we both were in an art marketing course. And soon Ramona left and took off on her own and conquered the world with her Urban Queen. And she has a very interesting background as a fashion designer, interior designer, and is now well known as the artist who empowers women with her paintings. She has been featured in multiple media, and her art collection is all over the world, in private collections, galleries, etc. Welcome, Ramona. I'm so happy that you're here and that you want to share your beautiful story with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me.
I'm very happy that you said yes. So you have a very interesting background because you live in Romania and coming from a country that was haunted by communism. Can you tell us a bit what that means, especially when you can't create the art you desire to create?
Well, I remember as a child the lack of color. I vividly remember the fact that everything was gray. And I don't know why I had this need for color, but I remember, you know, the buildings were gray, TV was black and white, all the books were black and white. There was no color, there was no advertising because everything was state-owned and you had one shop for everything and there was no food, so you had no need of advertising and everything was black and white and gray, as I said. And when I was at around, I don't know, 12 or 14, around that age, I saw a book on Michelangelo. And I remember looking through that art book and I was so impressed. And I saw, you know, all the beautiful paintings and the Cappella Sistina. And that created one of those moments that you see in movies. You know, I had that moment when I said, oh God, if I can escape this place, I will go somewhere where there's color and there's beauty. And that really inspired me. And of course, I did left after communism fell just a few years later. And actually, on my 30th birthday, I was standing in the Vatican in Cappella Sistina, watching the beautiful work of Michelangelo and admiring it. So, you know, those moments that they pinpoint in movies, I think they do happen in reality, too.
Yeah, I truly believe that. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, specifically one of mine. I have more people I talked with who have this, who saw their work and had like, oh, my God.
Yes.
This is what I need to do.
Yeah, I didn't think that's what I was going to do at the time. I didn't want to become an artist. I just wanted to be surrounded by beauty, I guess. Beauty. I guess that was the longing that I had at that particular time. Yeah. And the emotion that created in me was very, very strong. So, you know, I'm happy that I get to be an artist and create emotion within my through my paintings somehow.
Well, you absolutely do. And because you went to London art school and then you went into fashion design. So you created a lot of beauty because fashion is beauty and emotion, right?
Yeah.
And how did this help you later when you took on art as a way of living?
Well, I went to London and that's where I discovered painting and I fell in love with painting. I loved it so much. And I did an A-level course in fine art and all my teachers told me to go to uni to do fine art. But I came from a communist country with this mentality of the starving artist, and I went to London by myself, so I needed to support myself. And I thought, you know, I didn't come from a starving upbringing to go into a starving artist career. So I went to do fashion design thinking, at least I can get a job, you know, as a dressmaker, as a pattern cutter or something. So, but then when I was about 25, I opened my own fashion business. So I went into fashion. I worked for various fashion designers and companies, and then I opened my own business. And I had a really wonderful, wonderful time as a fashion designer, you know, growing my own label and selling to boutiques across the country. And I think that helped me tremendously later on, because I understood what it means to run a business.
Yeah.
And when you're an artist, you're actually running your business. You know, yeah. It's not just about making the product, which was the same in fashion. We were making the product, but we had to still market it and sell it and bring it to an audience and, you know, do the whole thing. So that was a great experience that has helped me and is still helping me now in the business of art, in the art business.
Yeah, and that is so important, right? Because, I mean, you talk about the starving artist, but I was taught the same way. And I don't come from a community like you. My background is different, very different. That's why I asked you, because that's very difficult to understand when you haven't lived it. But the starving artist story was running the same with us. And the thing is, you are an entrepreneur, and you can see that in everything you do. And I learn a lot of that. I went through your website and had like, wait a minute. Okay.
That's how she does it.
Hey, this is a good way. Yeah. Because that is the thing we lack, right? As artists, we have like, okay, just lock me up in my studio and I will paint forever.
Well,
it's also the balance, right?
There are two very important parts. One is creating art, and then the other one is sharing the art with the world. And they take just as much effort, just as much time, just as much energy to do both. But you have to do both, because, you know, yes, you can paint just for yourself to have your art for you, but if you want to paint for the world and to send a message out, then you have to do more than just rely on being discovered.
Yeah. That is great. So fashion and painting are not the only endeavors, because from that, you became also an interior designer, winning a 5-star the European Property Awards in London. What attracted you to interior design, fashion, painting, interior design? I can see a link there, especially as an entrepreneur, but what attracts you in interior design?
Well, I think I just let myself be carried, you know, through the journey. I had, after almost 20 years of living in London, I decided to return to Romania. And as I came back to Romania, I didn't really know what to do. And I thought more of creating a business, because that's what I had been doing all my adult life in London. So I made a list of a few businesses that I can make. You know, I wrote down 20 businesses I could start. And I remember I actually saw that journal a while ago. And on number 5 was have an interior design business. And I think that attracted me the most, because it's a creative business. Yeah. And I started from zero. I mean, when I came back to Romania, I didn't even know where to buy a light bulb from, because the country has changed so much in 20 years. It was unrecognizable. It wasn't the great communist country that I had left 20 years before. But, you know, I adapted and I loved it and I started from nothing, and it was a great business. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I had employees and I had, you know, some really interesting, really fun projects that I did. So it was fun.
Right. It sounds really, yeah, it sounds really that you took off a path that learned you how to be creative and learned you how to be an entrepreneur, to shift into art, and to, because you have the knowledge and you know what to do and how to work it, and that is amazing. Also in your marketing, and did interior in design and having a boutique also help you with your paintings itself, placing them in interiors? And
no, because I didn't actually place my art into interior design places at all. What happened was, as I was doing the interior design business, I started painting again. So it was only when I came back to Romania, I got back into painting, into art. And I was doing that the weekends, and I was doing that at nighttime, you know, until 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd be painting in my spare bedroom, as you do. And I loved it. It was so soul fulfilling, and it was just fun. Like, I'd run a business during the day. I'd have a 4 or 5 year old girl, a daughter, and paint all weekends and all night. But I loved it. And what happened was, we went on holiday to the States. And every time I go on holiday, obviously I'll go and visit a lot of art galleries and museums. And this particular art gallery that we were visiting had an open call for artists. And I submitted, I left the gallery, I took the information, I submitted, and then they accepted me to present my art during the Art Basel Week in Miami in December 2013, I think it was. So I went back to Miami and exhibited. And I think that's when I went, you know what, this is what I wanted all my life. Like, this was, if you had a magic wand and you could do whatever you want to do, what do you want to do? I wanted to be an artist. So I thought, okay, it's the time to do it. So I don't think I came back to Bucharest, and I think within 6 months, I actually closed the business in order to be a full-time artist. I thought, I'm not going to do half-half. I've been doing half-half, just painting for myself, but I'm going to really dive in and burn my ships and go full on. So, yeah.
That's courageous.
10 years ago.
Yeah, that's so courageous. Yeah. And before you started, by the way, with the Urban Queen, you painted these very large, because I've seen them, these beautiful magic paintings with animals and nature and portraits expressing kind of a symbiosis. And I have a quote from your website that really spoke to me. I'm unreservedly and unapologetically an optimist. I know that. I see that in your art too. Eternally in love with life, humankind, and our riveting journey through life. Equally, I'm in deep awe of the faithful admirer of nature's perennial magnificence. My art is thus a labor of love, endeavoring to bring viewers moments of true joy and reverence. The themes, tones, and brushstrokes through my body of work pursue the joie de vivre, the uplifting and the beautiful. So what made you step into a more expressive and rich color Urban Queens, which, by the way, shows joie de vivre? You completely changed the whole theme. What was that?
I think, as any artist, we paint what we live, don't we? We go through our emotions and somehow we put that on canvas. So getting to Urban Queen was a process that took a few years. I think I started around 2015, 2016 with a series called Quest. And that's the one that has all those nudes and angel wings and, you know, all these bodies that are somehow in space, looking at space. And this was the time when I was going through my own searches. And and because it had been a few years since I started being a professional artist, and it took longer than I thought it would to really, you know, make something happen out of it. So I was having my own questions. Is this my path? Is this my purpose? Am I supposed to carry on with this thing? And these paintings speak of that moment when we ask ourselves, what is our true mission? What is our path? Do we have a purpose? Is there even such thing as God and universe? And so, and obviously the nudes, because that's the moment that, you know, you're most vulnerable at. And as I was asking these questions, and this wings appeared on my nudes, which were almost like an answer to my questions, that, you know, the divinity is within you, whatever you need is within you. Those things that you're looking outside for, you can find them inside yourself. And then that progressed into me doing some shamanic meditations and meeting my my lioness as my spirit animal. And then I thought, oh, if we're gonna start looking inside, then let's look inside. So then I did a whole series which is called She Knows, okay, which is based on let's look inside and what is it that we find inside. And these animals are almost like a metaphor of what we can find inside ourselves, you know. And then I started looking at these animals. How were they depicted throughout history and in different